The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. In the Gospel today, Jesus compares himself to a shepherd and the church to sheep. The thing about shepherds was that they spent so much time with the sheep. They lived among their sheep so that the sheep would not be killed by wild animals or stolen by other people, both of which were very real possibilities. So they just stayed with them. And apparently the sheep got to know the voice of their shepherd because of his always being with them. Jesus is saying today that it should be that way with us and him. We should hear his voice as he calls us out by name and leads us out. The first question is, out of what? In those times, there were sheep pens dotting the countryside for the use of the shepherds. The shepherds took the sheep to where there was food, like a grassy meadow. When the food was used up, they moved on to the next place. Near these grassy meadows, sometimes there was a big communal sheep pen, and often more than one shepherd would put his sheep in the pen to protect them during the night. The next day, one shepherd would call out his sheep from the group to move on to a new place for food. The sheep belonging to that shepherd would follow him because they knew his voice and would not follow someone else's voice. You know, much of secular society does not believe that God communicates with his people. But the Bible makes it clear that God speaks to us in various ways and even sometimes personally. From the point of view of the Bible, we were born to hear that voice. It makes sense that if God created us, we belong to him, so we were meant to hear his voice and follow it and reject other voices. So I would like to talk about some of the ways that God speaks to us. Certainly not all of them, but some of the more traditional ones that a lot of people have experienced these. First, God speaks to us through his word, which we call the Bible. Many times something in us stirs when we hear the words of the Bible, perhaps because we instinctively know that it is meant for us. I had a person come up to me after Mass and she said, "Something in your homily just hit my heart like a bell." And when she said what it was, I said, "That wasn't in my homily. That was in the gospel." So there's an example of that happening. The Bible teaches us so much about God, the world, ourselves, the mess we find ourselves in, and how we can get out of that mess. It inspires us, makes us think, challenges us, and sometimes confounds us. So a serious Christian, one who is a true disciple, spends some time with the Scriptures because God speaks to his people through them, telling them what he is like, what he wants us to do and not do, all kinds of things. Another important way that God speaks to us is through the teachings of the church. Many of the church's teachings are based on the Bible, but not all of them. We see this in action when Peter says to Jesus and the other apostles that Jesus is not just the Messiah. He is also the Son of the living God. And now, Peter didn't get that from the Bible, which at that point would have only been the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So where did he get it? Jesus tells us in the next verse, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." In other words, Jesus was creating a church where the Pope, Peter being the first, would from time to time receive revelations that would serve as a guiding voice for the church, speaking to her over the centuries in order to lead her to all truth. The Pope and bishops have another important role to play in the church when they officially interpret the Scriptures. Blessed John Henry Newman was a priest in the Church of England in the late 1800s. He was really bothered by the fact that so many different Protestant denominations were being created in his own time, sometimes because two factions of people in a particular church would disagree on the meaning of a single verse of the Bible. Newman began to see that if there wasn't a central, authoritative interpreter, divisions would be the result. So now there's over 30,000 different Christian denominations today. And he didn't see this happening in the Catholic Church. And so he began to read in depth about the Catholic Church and even read in depth the early church fathers. That will always get you in trouble. There he saw that Catholics in the first few centuries of the church were teaching the same thing that they were teaching in the Catholic Church of Newman's time. And he knew this was not true in the Protestant world, where teachings differed from church to church based on the different interpretations of Scripture. So, Newman converted to the Catholic Church in 1845 and later was made a cardinal. Another important area where Christ speaks to us is through the lives of the saints. If you start reading about the saints, you begin to see that they became saints through the grace of God working within that saint's personality. And that saint showed a little different side of the voice of Christ. Over the centuries, we have over 20,000 people who have been declared saints. Of course, there are many more than that. They just haven't been declared as saints. But that's over 20,000 different examples of how a sinful human being can be transformed by Christ to reach the goal that all of us want to reach. Because of this, their lives are worth looking at. There has to be a saint that is very much like you, who faced similar challenges, whose life story is similar, has common elements, and whose temperament is very much like yours. If you can get to know that saint, he or she might be of great help to you. Christ's voice can be heard in the liturgy, especially the Mass. It happens to me sometimes, and I've heard some of you say it too, that during the Mass, you get hit in the heart once again by something. And yet, so many people stay away from the Mass. Some recent studies say that upwards of 75% of Catholics don't think it's important to go to Mass every week. Well, they're missing out on Christ speaking to them and having his real presence inside of them. Christ speaks to us in our conscience. We can hear Jesus warning us not to do some things and encouraging us to do others. But I have to say, this only works in a well-formed conscience. There are people who have surrounded themselves with things so contrary to Christ that their consciences don't work correctly anymore. Conscience is formed from childhood. It needs good examples. It listens to the scriptures and to the church. And if it is cut off from these things, it begins to die. Our conscience sometimes speaks to us through guilt. The secular world has no use for guilt. It sees guilt only as repressive, unhealthy, and that which gets in the way of my happiness. Now, I'll grant that there is some guilt that is unhealthy. But if I've hurt someone, or do something that hurts my integrity, or turned away from God, a good, healthy, functioning conscience will make me feel guilty. It's supposed to do that. And finally, there is prayer. How many times I've been praying, and all of a sudden something comes into my mind that I hadn't been thinking about, and it's like I'm being nudged, pushed, you know. Many of you have experienced that as well. That is the Lord speaking to you. These are just some of the ways that God speaks to us. There are others, but this is a good start at the ways we hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, there are thousands of other voices that compete with our shepherd's voice, trying to entice us to give them our focused attention. These voices tell us things about human sexuality, marriage, the place of money and things, honor, titles, lying and cheating to get ahead. You know, I would say most every newscast, movie, book, magazine, newspaper, and commercial, whatever segment of media we're talking about, there is at least one of these voices in it. It's become so commonplace that it now defines what's normal in our society. They tell us what to think about sexuality and marriage and so forth, and it really does affect how people think, because of how often these messages are shoved into them. So now, for those of us who are trying to remain faithful to what the voice of the shepherd, we're the weird people from secular society's point of view. Why? Because they've been taught what to think over and over and over in every setting possible. These are the thieves and the robbers, and they are legion. When we focus on these voices, they rob us of true life and peace and joy and harmony. So an examination of conscience today might go something like this. How much do I look and sound like the world? Jesus says today in one of his most famous verses, "I came that you may have life and have it in abundance." He wants what's best for you. So whatever his voice is saying is trying to lead you in that direction. But that requires us to hear and focus on the voice of our good shepherd.